worded the same way, but I think the definition 1, 2, and 3 will be fine. And if he brings anything up about that, maybe I don't disagree with, maybe I missed it, but he can point that out. I don't think anybody misunderstands what the proposition is or doesn't understand what we're discussing. When a congregation comes together on the first day of the week, when they drink the fruit of the vine in the communion, do they have to use one container? That means start with only one container, and all the disciples in the congregation put their lips to that one container. We have to do it that way, or may we use individual containers? That would mean each one have their own container, or for that matter, a plurality of containers. George, I guess, would think that it wrong if you just use 2 or 3, even more than 1. And so I'm going to try to prove my position this afternoon. First, I'm going to give you the authority for a plurality of containers. The authority for plurality of containers is today. Thomas, raise it up a little bit. When God commands, eat the bread, and here's the command that authorizes the generic. Drink the fruit of the vine. That authorizes the generic. All of the things that we made in carrying out the command. For example, a plate. Like that, if you wanted to use a plate to eat bread, that would help us carry out the command to eat the bread. You don't have to use a plate. You can use 1 plate. 2 plates if you want to. It's authorized generic when God says eat the bread. Now, I won't give you authority for individual communion cups, containers, because they're specifically mentioned in the Scripture. Neither is just one container. I won't do that. Neither one of them specifically mentioned. The authority for plurality of containers, and I've given you the authority, generic authority, firmly command, drink the fruit of the vine, is the same as the authority for using only one container. That's how we get the authority for using any containers at all, so Jesus told us to drink. Using a plate to pass the bread on. Using 2 plates to pass the 2 elements. Using only 1 little table to hold the queen down. You don't have to do that. Some small churches I've heard of just sit in a semicircle and they just put the communion and the bread, and they put it on in whatever container it's in, and they put it on the floor. Using 2 tables to hold the communion down. You can do that too. It's authorized in there. Next chart. Now illustrate this again with the plate. This is an illustration. The command is generic. He said drink through the vine. He commanded that. Well, the plate, where's the authority for the bread? Command to eat. Generically authorizes a container or containers for the bread. Likewise, the command to drink generically authorizes a container today for the fruit of the vine. Next chart, Mike. This chart helps us see how you can have something generically authorized. And then some of the things that are generically authorized by certain passages could be ruled out. And that's what I believe George is saying in this debate. That no, the multiple containers is ruled out by specific passages. And that happened in the last debate, the last night. That's really what it meant. Here's a quote from George. There is general authority. But when something, he's not talking about containers here, he's talking about general authority. There is general authority, but when something is authorized by general authority, it cannot violate specific instructions and commands found in the Bible. I agree with that. For example, go. Illustrates we're all familiar with. That's being authorized all the way to go. Airplane, car, walk, all of them. Now, there's going to be some passages, though, or there are some passages that rule out a few of them. But everything's generic authorized. Then there's some passages that will rule out, like feeding, like feeding. If we didn't have the law of the land that said we had to go 65 or less, for example, in England or wherever, you could go at any state speed you wanted to because you're just going. As long as it's safe, you're just doing go. But then, you have something to rule out. You can't go over 65. Or stealing a car. You can't do that. That's a rule out. 1 Timothy 4:4 authorizes us to eat all food. Acts 15 rules a few of them out. Meat authorized as well. Galatians 6:10 teaches that we're to help everybody. That's everybody, individually. Every person has to have opportunity. But 2 Thessalonians 3:10 rules a few of them out. Otherwise, it would be generically authorized. It just says you can't help somebody. It's not going to work. Eat and drink provides general authority for table or tables to place the Lord's Supper. No specific prohibition excludes anything. Eat bread provides general authority for plate or quest to serve bread. There's no specific prohibition that can exclude anything. Now, if you can find a specific prohibition that says you can't, you must eat 1 plate, then even though it would otherwise be authorized generically, that would be ruled out by another passage. Drink through the vine is generically authorized, serving it in containers, singular, or containers. Both of them are authorized. No specific prohibition excludes either one. If yours can show that multiple containers are excluded, then you have it more. That's what this debate is really about. They're authorized generically. But then if you can show that they're ruled out in some way, to rule out multiple containers, then that's what the debate's about. We show the rule out, and then we must quit using it. A total number of containers is generically authorized. The question is, and has always been, is there any scripture that prohibits a plurality of containers? Let me give you an illustration. What if you were up here trying to affirm and prove that you could baptize in any place you wanted to, as long as it was in water and you immersed it? I bet we all believe that you can do that. What would you do? You would go and show that Jesus said to baptize, you'd show it needs to be in water. And then you'd say that generically authorizes a baptistry, a lake, a creek. Okay? It does generically authorize it. Now, what if somebody came along and said, no, it's wrong to use a creek? His obligation would be to show that the Bible excludes the creek. Excludes the creek. And if he could do that, they would have to quit baptizing in a creek. The general command to baptize authorizes all of them. But if you can find the Bible ruling out one or two of them, or all of them in one way, then that's fine. And that's what we're doing in this debate today. When debating one of the Pentecostals, I can see that the Bible never says what the baptizer said. Therefore, we don't know what they said. Therefore, we cannot bind any certain spoken form. Similarly, we cannot tell how many containers the disciples drank. We can't tell it. You can't tell it from the limited amount of information we have. We don't know for sure that Jesus started with only one container, because the condom would be used. I proved that this morning. But assuming that he did start with only one container, we still wouldn't know if the disciples all drank from that one container by all putting their lips to the same container, or if they did it by pouring in separate containers first and drinking, like they did in John 4 12. There is no way to know how many containers were used, but my phone is like the one that's in the office and I'm just, anyway. Get started. And so, here's why I have this chart here, what my opponent has proven. Because what I've done, it only took me less than 5 minutes. I have proven that my position is authorized generic. And I have said, though, if George can show where the Bible rules it out, multiple containers. Remember, he said drink. Jesus told us to drink. That authorizes one container or multiple containers. Generic. But if George can show us where multiple containers is ruled out, then I'll have to give him up. That's what this debate amounts to. So George, just like this morning, to show that my proposition is not true, and to show the general authority for it, to show that that's not, he's going to rule it out. He's going to prove that Jesus started with only one container. And although Jesus may have started with only one container, and he probably did, we don't know that for sure. You can't find it. You don't know that. You cannot determine it from the text for sure. The disciples all put their lips to that one thing. I have no idea how the disciples drank of the cup any more than I have any idea of how many containers Jacob, his cattle, and his sons used to drink of the well. It cannot be determined from the text. And then George will have to prove that one container has clear significance that it's not just an individual, the other women. And he's already undertaken to try to prove that. He tries to show the verse saying, cup is the new testament. He thinks the container represents the new covenant. He is trying to show spiritual significance. And if he can prove that, then he will have shown spiritual significance, and he'll have shown it's not in the category of the upper room per se, something that was just an incident. Next chart. My opponents agree that the condom is being used in many places where you have a cup referred to in the passage. Luke 22:17 says divide. That container or the condom. He admits it's the condom. You're not dividing the container. First Corinthians 10:21, drink the cup of the Lord. The container or condom. He agrees the condom is being used. You have a container name, but the container is not necessarily there. It's the context of what's being talked about. He also admits in these texts, 1 Corinthians 10:25, if you don't drink the container, go to the condom, 1 Corinthians 11:26, it's the condom, 1 Corinthians 11:27, don't drink the container, it's the condom. He admits that many times, at least this is the question I've asked, the condom is being used. He doesn't have a problem with that. I believe that the condom is used every time. It cannot be proven that a literal container is everything. Oh, that's not one time. We can't prove it. We want to see if he can prove it. When you see the word cup, remember, he thinks it's a container in some places. I think it's content. He is under obligation to prove it's a container. It's his case, not mine. I believe it's content. You prove it's a container. You cannot do it. I can prove every time that it is content. Every time. Now, notice what I'll do. There's only about two passages that you have a question in your mind. Everybody turn to Matthew 26:27, in my opinion. In Matthew 26:27, Mark 14:23, I don't believe you can tell just from that verse which one is being used. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Just from those verses by themselves, you can't tell if the condom is being used or not. It can go either way. For example, Back when some reached this one, he took the cup and gave it back and gave it to them saying, drink the olive.
It could mean this. He took the container, and I believe this is what George took the container, gave it back and gave it to him saying, drink the olive, that is, out of the container. That meant, just from that verse, could mean that. Or, it could mean he took the fruit of the vine that the tongue was being used, and gave thanks, and gave it to him saying, drink the olive fruit of the vine. It referred that fruit of the vine. You see, it could mean this or this. Now, if it means this, the tongue is being used, then you don't have a command to drink out of one container, because it's not talking about the container. The command is to drink the fruit of the vine, not drink out of one container. See that? Now, we're going to have to decide which one of these means. If you can prove it means this, then you have proven that Jesus started with only one container. Now, that's not all you need to prove. Remember, I said you've got to prove three things. But if you can prove this is the meaning of this verse, then you've proven that Jesus started with only one container. You're still going to have to prove that all the disciples put the lips to the group from. You're still going to have to prove that it has spiritual significance. But if you can prove it means this, and I maintain that George really can't tell either way which one it means. But if you look at Luke 22:17, that's what it's going to do. You can tell which one it means. Because Luke 22:17 is talking about the same cup, parallel passage. It says Jesus took the cup. Notice the similarity of that to Matthew 6:27. He took the cup and gave thanks, and he says, take this. Instead of saying, drink ye all of it, notice what he said. Divide it. Now, the question is, what is this in? The question is not how do we divide it. There's a number of ways you can divide it. He admitted it in his book. You could divide it by all drinking from one container, if there were one container there. You could divide it by pouring into different glasses and then drink. Either one of those ways could be divided. The question is not how did they divide it. That could go either way. The question is, what is it? What is the it? Not how did they divide it, but what is it? Can you divide a container? What about, he said, it is container and content. That is, content along with container, as he said. Can you divide it? No. You cannot divide container along with content. You can only divide the content. So this cup in Luke 22:17 is content, and it is referring to content alone. Alone. That's easy to see. You do not divide anything but the content. What is the it? Content. Now, this passage is parallel to Matthew 26:27, Mark 14:43. You see that Jesus was talking about the content all along. You cannot divide the container, only the content. Now, all this down here says that even if Jesus did start with only one container, there's no way you can prove that all the disciples put their lips to the same container. Did all the people and animals put their lips to Jacob 12 to drink thereof? X, same Greek. John 4:12, we all put our lips to the coke pitcher at Pizza Hut to drink from it? X. Drink from it, not drink from the supply, drink from the container, the pitcher. Next chart. This illustrates that. Divide it. Now, if you take the container, you take out these little lines that represent the content. See how it's divided there? Is that what we think he's talking about? Divide the container. What about the container and the content? See if it's a container and the content. Do we divide it? Container along, or content along with the containers, he says? Or do we just divide the content? That is so easy to see. So easy to see. Now, what am I doing? When I show that Luke 22:17, which he'll admit the same cup as in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, then down goes his command and example argument. Because Matthew 26 is the command to drink the fruit of the vine, the content. It doesn't have anything to do with container. The container is named to suggest the content. The content is the only thing that's being referred to, which is drink. See that? The way you refer to the content is by naming the container. A literal container. You name a literal container, but you're only referring to the content. Let me give an example of that. I've been talking about the Alabama football bench and how the bench refers to the substitutes. Now, I did that to show that even if you referred to three literal benches, container for content, you could still say the bench won the game for the substitutes, even if there were three benches. Now, I'm going to use it for a different reason. Let's switch to basketball. Now, a long time ago, the figure was established that a bench, you could say bench to refer to the substitutes, because the substitutes sit on the bench. In basketball, college basketball, they don't sit on the bench anymore. They sit in chairs. But you still say the bench won the game. And the bench is not there. You name a literal bench, but you're only referring to the player. That's what I'm saying. You want me to explain to you? While the other back is playing, name a literal bench. Bench. Not a figure. There. You're saying a literal bench. That's what you're naming. What are you referring to? The player. The bench is not even there in a basketball game. It's chairs. And they might not even have chairs there in some cases. They might be standing up. You still call it the bench. You see that? You name the literal bench, but the bench is no longer there. All right. Anybody can see that. And we'll get into this when we get into 1 Timothy 11. Well, that's even said. You don't drink. You drink the cup. You don't drink the container. Any content. Or the container. You don't drink the container anything. The only thing you drink is the content. The only thing. Extra content. Now, let's look again at Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, 23, Luke 22, 17, and drive the example home. Because the cup, okay, let's just take this device from themselves. Is the cup in Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, 23, the same cup as in Luke 22, 17? We all agree that it is. Then the cup of these passages is something that you can divide. Since you do not divide the container in anything, then the cup of Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, 23, Luke 22, 17, also Luke 22:20, cup is the New Testament of my blood, same cup, none of them refer to the container in any sense, they refer to the contents only. Down goes my own commanded example, and down goes his contention that the container represents the New Testament. Because Luke 22:20, where it says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, don't forget about that part, is referring to the contents only, because 3 verses before, it refers to the same cup, which he will agree, and it says divide it. And do not divide the container in any sense, in no sense whatsoever. Now, don't forget this one cup of autonomy rule. One cup of autonomy rule number 4, and still go ask yours, who, one cup brother, who originally came up with this rule, who came up with this rule? It's an important rule. If one cup is named, the contents of only one cup are suggested. Page 7 of his book has a rule. I noticed it somewhere else, too. Who's the one cup brother who made this rule up? It's patently false. Matthew 18, I believe it's 18, maybe 16. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Container for content, but the contents of more than one container suggested because one container is named. The 4 waiters serve the Chinese dish at the football banquet. Big singular, container for content, but the content of more than one platter, one container, is being suggested, even though you only named one container. He was down here handing the poker game. What if he had, he held the cards in 2 little hands, like he would? Does that mean he's not safe? He has a good hand. He has a good hand. No. You say he has a good hand, even if he held it in 2 little hands. The real rule is not going to, she raised her children on the bottle? Is that what he would say? You know that she used the contents of more than one bottle, milk in more than one bottle. You wouldn't say she raised milk, her children on the bottle. You wouldn't say the man started hitting the bottle when it talked about the fact that he drank alcohol from many bottles. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say anything. The rich man had 2 buildings, houses on his property, one for him, one for the children. Would you say that he feared God with all his houses? No, you say he feared God with all his house. And so you name one container to refer to the content of more than one container. So when Jesus named one container, drink of the cup, of that cup, or he took the cup, then he could have been referring to the content of more than one container. Obviously, that's just shows. John 4:12, art thou greater than our father James, which gave us the well and drank thereof? X, same Greek word in Matthew 26, 27, 14, 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 28, drink of that cup. This is his commanded example. He drank from the well. What am I trying to show now? Even if Jesus starts with only one container, which you can't prove. You can't prove all the disciples put their lips to that one container to drink from it. But they do that for Jacob's well. The same in the Greek. Says they drank of the well. Did all of them put their lips to it? Or did they use separate containers to drink of it? Which one? I believe that they use separate containers to drink of it. And therefore, you don't know how they drank of the cup, assuming they started with only one, which can't prove. You don't know how they drank of the cup in these passages. They could have all drank of it by passing around, all putting their lips in the same container. Or they could have drank of it, skip to the last term on that list, by passing around, splitting different containers. Now, this illustration, I didn't get time last. He took the dish, gave thanks, gave them, saying, eat y'all. Took the dish, and he gave thanks, gave them, they all ate. Can you tell how many platters are there? You can't tell. This is a Chinese dish, the main dish. Can you tell how many platters are there? Maybe. You can't tell. What they really did. Never did that.
those as if it's in Christ, and I'm thankful to stand before you and reply to what you listened to. Now, several times, more than once in this last speech, Brother Donahue said, now, George, when he gets up here, he has to prove such and such. He has to prove when he gets... No, George doesn't have to prove anything now. That's what George did this morning. George was in the affirmative this morning, and that's when I was proving the material. What I'm supposed to do now that I am the negative speaker is I'm supposed to look at the proof which he offers to prove his proposition and see, has he proven it? Now, let's look at his proposition now on page number 5. The scriptures teach that an assembly of the Church of Christ for the communion may use individual cups, which means drinking vessels, in the distribution of the fruit of life. Point number 1, the scriptures teach. That is, after reading the scriptures, the reader gains the knowledge and the impression that congregations today may use individual drinking vessels when observing the communion, and in so doing, they are following the Lord's example and commands exactly. Now that's what he said, you can read the scriptures and gain this knowledge. Now, may use, that is, the Lord gave no instructions to his disciples on how to partake of the fruit of the vine, and he made the manner of distributing it a matter of liberty. In other words, the Lord left it totally up to them what to do with the fruit of the vine. He gave no instructions whatsoever in how to partake of the fruit of the vine, how to distribute it. But that's the problem with this, is because the scriptures tell us he did give them specific directions on how to do it. In Matthew chapter 27, or 26, verse 27, he said, drink from it, all of you. Now the problem is he signed his name to a proposition that's basically saying the Lord gave no instructions on how to distribute the fruit of the vine, and the Lord did. That's the problem with his proposition. Now, to go on with point number 2. Using individual drinking vessels fulfills the Lord's commands and examples just as well as if only one drinking vessel were used. That's what he's got to prove. Even though Jesus took one cup, gave thanks for one cup, gave one cup to the disciples, and told them to all drink from it, he's got to show us now from the scriptures that you can take a tray and a stack of individual cups, and by every man drinking his own vessel, he is therefore doing what the Lord said when he gave them one cup and told them all to drink from it. That's what he's got to be doing. Now, point number 3, individual cups are drinking about it. That is, each participant may have his own individual drinking cup, and by so doing is following the script, what the scriptures teach. He's got to show this from the scriptures. Did you hear him get up and give any scripture for that? He said, I don't have any scripture. It's just justified by general commands. Now, summary. The burden of proof is to show that the Lord made the use of the drinking vessel an incidental item with no spiritual significance. That an incidental item, or point number 3, that it, as an incidental item, all drinking vessels may be dispensed with, or as many as men desire may be used. You know what he believes? Some of you weren't here this morning to hear us discuss everything he believes. Look on page number 111, question number 7. He thinks the drinking vessel is so insignificant you can dispense with it altogether or use as many as you want. Let me question number 7. If the container is totally irrelevant, can a cluster of grapes be passed around and each participant pluck off one grape and drink the juice out of it? Would that be drinking the cup? Donahue says, yes, yes. He didn't just say yes. He said it twice because he's so sure that yes, yes, you can pass a cluster of grapes around. But he told us now, you can't eat the grape. Oh, if you eat the grape, you're not following the Lord's example. You can pass the cluster of grapes around and you can squeeze the grape in your mouth, but then you have to throw the skin away. That's what he told us this morning. And when you do that, you're following the Lord's example. You're following it exactly. Now, and I asked him about a popsicle. Could we take the fruit of the vine, freeze it into a popsicle, and everyone have a popsicle and suck their popsicle for communion? What did he say about it? He didn't know whether he believed that in the scripture or not. He doesn't believe there's anybody that you can use, I suppose, a popsicle or just pass grapes around. Why go to the expense of buying these big expensive communion sets when all you have to do is just buy a cluster of grapes? Or what about just a box of raisins and just pass some raisins around? Why go to all this and the trouble of cleaning all of those individual cups every Sunday? Yeah, think of all the time it takes to fill each one. Why the trouble of all the time and effort is wasted when all you have to do is just pass around some grapes?
Everybody can pass around some grace, and they're having communion and following the example of the Lord and God. Now, let's go on notice the summary of the proposition. He's got to show, point number C, that Jesus gave no commands involving the use of any drinking vessel, but he did. He gave them one cup, and he said, drink from it all of you. Number D, that the disciples today may fulfill all of Jesus' commands in regard to communion by using a plurality of vessels. You can do what Jesus did, and you can fulfill everything you need to by using individual drinking vessels. Here's the problem with that. In Luke 22 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that the priesthood, he tells us this. He tells us that the bread represents his body. How many bodies did the Lord have? He had only one body. He intended for only one loaf of bread to be used to symbolize his one body. And in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, we being many are one bread or loaf, for we are all partakers of that one loaf. He intended one loaf to be used to symbolize his one body, and using more than one loaf destroys the symbolism involved. Now he tells us, next of all, that the fruit of the vine symbolizes his blood. And then he told us in Luke 22, verse 20, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 12, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. God made a new covenant. When the Lord died on the cross, he shed his blood, and he brought in a New Testament. We are no longer living under an Old Testament. He gave us a new one, and he gave us a symbol of the New Testament, and that is the cup in the Lord's Supper. Everybody look on page number 10. Page number 10. A covenant's contents is contrasted with the blood and the covenant at the bottom of the page. Notice this. A liquid is incomplete without a container. Now let me tell you something. You people in the audience, you know good and well Jesus didn't pass around a cluster of grapes. And we're not going to hold you responsible for believing what Brother Crashers or what Brother Donahue said. We know good and well you don't believe that, and I don't think he really does either. But he said it. He said that you pass around a cluster of grapes and you're fulfilling everything the Lord said. I don't think he believes it. I know you don't believe it. Now, a liquid came in liquid form, and a liquid is incomplete without a container. And just like, over the other column, just like the blood of Christ is incomplete without a new covenant. Now, point number three, a container is incomplete without a liquid in it. Just like, number three, a new covenant is incomplete without the blood of Christ. Now, notice the last term. Because the new covenant is inseparable from the blood which ratified it, God chose two items that are inseparable to symbolize his scheme of redemption, a cup and its contents. Well, while both items are essential, neither item by itself symbolizes anything. You see the point? Having an empty cup wouldn't do us any good. Having just fruit of the vine wouldn't do us any good. You've got to have fruit of the vine in a cup in order to have communion, like Jesus taught. That's because the New Testament is incomplete without the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ is incomplete without the New Testament. He chose the cup and its contents to symbolize the New Testament and the blood of Christ. These cannot be separated, and neither can the cup and its contents. That's the whole problem now. All right, he admitted this morning, those of you that were here this morning, he admitted that he did not follow my speech. He admitted that he was not answering my arguments. He said that the rules of debate, where the negative has to follow the affirmative, are 150 years old, that's all they are, and he doesn't have to follow that. I have to answer what he says. And now he gets up here and he says, George has got to get up and prove this or that. No, George doesn't have to prove anything now. That's what George did this morning. George has got to follow what he said. He wants to not only redefine the word cup, he wants to redefine how we're going to get up here and debate now. He's doing this or changing horses right in the middle of the street. Now, I'm on his chart number 23. Chart number 23, and this is on Jacob's well. The reason I didn't deal with that this morning is because I was not a negative this morning. I didn't have to follow him this morning, but I'm going to follow him now. Here it is, drinking from the well. Now, he has A. Where's that point still? All right. He says X right here. Drink from the word X is translated of. or out of. And he said that word "et" is used with the genitive. And he said we drink out of the well in the same way that we drink out of the cup. That's what he wants you to think.
Okay, thank you.
He's trying to leave you the impression that we drink out of the well the same way we drink out of the cup. Can you imagine? You talk about insulting human beings' intelligence to tell us we drink out of the well in the same way that we drink out of the cup. We don't. And he said that's used with the genitive case. The word "et," he said, the Greek word "et" is the genitive case. And he said there's no such thing as different kinds of genitives. It's the genitive. There's only one kind of genitive. It's obvious that Brother Donahue has not taken a lick of Greek. It's because I've got here Dana and Manti's New Testament grammar for Greek. And I want you to know on page 72, he begins to describe the genitive case. And if you know there are 11 different kinds of genitives? There are 11 different kinds. Now, there is the genitive of description, page 75, page 76, the genitive of possession, the genitive of relationship, the adverbial genitive, the genitive of place, the genitive of reference, the genitive of time, genitive with nouns of action, genitive of apposition, the participative genitive. There is the genitive absolute, 11 different kinds of genitives. Here's his problem. The genitive that's used in John chapter 4, in John 4 and verse 12, is a different kind of genitive than is being used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. In Matthew 26, verse 27, when Jesus said, drink from it. That is a genitive which means drink from the drinking vessel he handed thee. Now when he said drink from the well in John 4 verse 12, that's a different kind of genitive that means drink from the water as a supply. Now, you may not understand all of that if you're not much into grammar, and not many of us are, but I want you to open up your book now to, let's see, page number 81. On page 81, here's the Jacob's Well argument. Point number eight, the Greek word "et," translated from or of, is used with the genitive case, but there are many different kinds of genitives. Now, there list six different kinds of genitives. Dana and Mackie in this grammar here, they list 11 different kinds, but Thayer says, well, there are six. Artin Gingrich says there are six different kinds of genitives. Both Thayer and Artin Gingrich specifically state that the genitive connected with the communion cup is different than the genitive connected with Jacob's well. All right, let's go over to page 124. On page 124, here is a photocopy out of Thayer's lexicon. Notice this second black arrow here. This second black arrow tells you, now it says, look at this sentence here, it says, it's underlined. It says, after penine, that means to drink, after penine, to drink, of the thing out of which one drinks. There's your cup. This used, he's saying, drink from it, x, the genitive of the thing out of which you drink. The cup, drink from the drinking vessel, is what Jesus said in Matthew 26, 27. Then notice what he goes on and says. He says differently in number 2, 9 below. Oh, it's being used differently in another pattern. Let's look over on page 126. Here's another photocopy. Here is number 2, 9 below. Oh, see the big black arrow there? It's underlined, number 9. It says, of the supply out of or from which a thing is taken, given, received, eaten, drunk, etc. And then if you'll go on and look, I've got mine highlighted. You might not read all through these references, but he lists John 4, verses 13 and following. Now, if you want to come over to my table after this speech, and you want to highlight yours too, so you'll be able to see that reference, what they are saying is the word "et" being used in John 4, verse 12, is a genitive that means you drink from the supply of water. And this here, well, the word "et" is being used with the genitive of the thing out of which you drink. He's saying, drink from the cup. Now, I know, brethren, listen.
I don't mean to insult your intelligence. I don't mean to do this. But this is critical to understand. You don't drink from a well in the same way you drink from a cup.
Amen.
Now listen. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see you drink out of a cup differently than you do out of a well. Now this is his major number one argument here. All right, let's go on now to metonymy. Talks about metonymy. Now I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. Some of the things he has said about metonymy. He said metonymy means basically there is no cup. There is no cup. Well, listen, we'll just take Brother Donahue for our authority. What does a metonymy mean? Look on page 111. Question number 5. You see part A there? It says, what object is being named when Paul wrote, drink this cup? What object's being named? Listen, Donahue's reply, a container. A container is being named when the Bible says, drink this cup. Well, how about he's telling us, look at question, hold your finger right there, and look on page number 109. Page 109, question number 1. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, did he use a literal drinking vessel? Donahue's reply, in all likelihood, he didn't use a container. All right, part A. If so, was the cup ever, or the word cup ever, was it ever used in the scriptures to refer either directly or indirectly to that drinking vessel? He says, I don't think so. You ever seen a man that was so wishy-washy? You ever see somebody that just couldn't make up their mind? There he is right there sitting at that table writing. There's a man that doesn't know what he believes. He said the word cup does not ever, even indirectly, refer to a container. And then on question number 5, page 111, when Paul wrote, drink this cup, what is being named? He said, a container. You ever see a man switch horses right in the middle of a debate?
There he is.
Now, what's being suggested? Fruit of the vine. Number C, what relationship is sustained between the thing named and the thing suggested? Donahue's reply, a cup may contain liquid. Now listen, folks, I know it's been kind of confusing, all these figures of speech and all of this genitive case and all this other. Let me just simply tell you what it means. It means Jesus took a literal container. He gave thanks for it and its contents. He gave it to the disciples, and he told them to drink the fruit of the vine. That was it. Now that's all it boils down to that. That's all it boils down to. Now it's as simple as that. You talk about, then he gets up here, I'll tell you, he doesn't know anything about Greek. That's obvious.
Amen.
He doesn't know anything about figures of speech, because even when a word cup is being used by metonymy, do you realize a literal cup is still envisioned? Everybody, turn your book open to page number 44. Page number 44. You see here, part number G, when cup is used by metonymy, lexicons list such usage under literal usage because a literal container is being named to suggest a literal liquid. Now notice the following. Here's Thayer, point number 1, and Art and Gingrich, point number 2. You can find just about any lexicon you want if you don't like them, and you'll find the same thing out. Look, there's photocopies, incidentally, of these pages on page 122 and 123. If you think I might have misrepresented Thayer, turn to page 122, and you can see with your very own eyes what there's in that. Notice it. He said of the word poterion. It means it's used first literally. A cup, a drinking vessel, Matthew 26, 27. That means when Jesus took took the cup, poterion, it meant a literal drinking vessel. And then under literal usage, he puts metonymy of the container for the contained. The contents of the cup, what is offered to be drunk. In other words, when metonymy is being used, you name a literal container and you're suggesting people to drink the contents of the literal container. Even when metonymy is being used, you've got a literal container sitting there on the table. Now he says, you can't tell how many cups Jesus has. Yes, you can. Even if the word cup is used by metonymy, it means one literal container. And Jesus is coming in a great comment. Now, listen to this right quick. Brother Donovan said this. He said, you divide the contents only. Luke 22 and verse 7. You divide the contents only. What? He said you divide the contents only. The contents of what? You divide the contents. The contents of what?
The contents of the cup.
Right.
I think so.
You know
what you were communicating
with available
in different band names? My point out of Dan and Matthew is there are 11 different kinds of genitives used.
Yeah, I'm not
making sure. Thayer says there are 6 different kinds of genitives in connection with egg.
Yeah.
And Thayer's photocopies out of my book list the 2 different kinds of genitives.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to make hard notes. We're having a hard time. We want to find the place in here where the communication is listed to see if John 4:12 is listed under the same category.
I don't know whether he discusses specifically the communion text. I'm not sure.